It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. You have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Pipe and Supply, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
Fantabulous Seafood Shed, yes.
Oh, yeah.
The home of the Bushwhackers. And they got all kind of Bushwhackers.
Modified milkshakes.
Modified milkshakes,
Country boy
milkshakes.
Yeah, yeah. It's all good, though. It's all good.
Oh, it is unbelievable. It really is, man. I tell you, I've certainly enjoyed being able to work with those guys all over there all these years. And actually was over there Sunday. I went over Sunday for a while. Had a little lunch and drank me one of them. I didn't have one of them modified milkshakes, but I had me one of them there adult drinks in a mug.
Yeah.
Like a draft.
There you go.
It wasn't a horse either.
I sat there
and I drank three of those right quick. I said, "Woo!" I just said, "Hail those! I better back off here."
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
That ain't mouthwash. I mean, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, but anyway, if anybody's got any questions or problems with the cars, give us a call and let's see if we can't work it out for you. That's what we're here for. But I know looks like we got a little more nasty weather coming in this week.
We certainly do. And it's we got some nasty weather coming tonight, too, don't we?
Yeah, I think
it's supposed to rain. Yeah, from about midnight till 6, 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it's kind of messed me up. Now, finally had it all scheduled and materials sitting there to do my roof. Back from the hurricane.
Oh, come on, man.
And they called yesterday and said, well, with it raining, it's a two-day job, so we don't want to get started on Monday and then have to stop.
So that's on your house?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So I've been fighting that since then. But hopefully they'll get it going again once we get through the weather this week. Yeah. Of course, it's going to be cold up there when they get back to it because it's supposed to be cold on the other side of this.
There you go. Well, I saw some single-digit weather. Like minus up in Nebraska and Minnesota and all that area up in there, like minus 6 and minus 8. I'm going like, whoa, y'all need to put the fence up. Get the Mason-Dixon line up here or something. Block that dude off.
Yeah, a buddy of mine had good work up in Ohio, and he when I talked to him last week, I was giving him a hard time about how cold it is up there, and he said, yeah, it's at least been getting above freezing during the day, but we're going to have about a 15-day period that it's going to never get above freezing. So,
oh, my Lord.
Yeah, so I was like, yeah, more power to you.
Yep, y'all have a blast. Yeah. Go out
you
and throw
yourself up there.
Go throw snowballs at each other or something, because I don't want them down here.
Right.
I'm immune to that stuff. I love to get sick.
Mm-hmm.
Get poony.
Yeah.
Get poony.
I have no interest in anything that cold, especially not for that long.
Well, you know, and it's neat. We're going to get a call here in a little while. And for all of our fine listeners out there, you'll remember Brother Kim Beck, our guru from up in North Alabama, that was the ICAR, meaning the Independent Collision Repair organization that represented all of the car manufacturers and all car repair deals, and he's the guy that gave all the tests and all the classes to all of the shops around. So I know Kevin and I've seen each other in a lot of those classes over the years and all. But this guy now, he's retired, but hey, they Ford Motor Company hired him, and he's now the designer of their paint. Areas in their factories. So they're actually building a new plant in, I think we'll get him to tell us, I believe it's in Kentucky, where they're going to build the electric Fords.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't get in there to the plant to work on that and to help design that because of the COVID deal.
Right.
So they're kind of, I guess they're shut out on all of that building and stuff up there now.
Well, I'm sure he's probably working with them, virtually, but it's, you know, you got to do what you got
to
do.
Well,
you
know? he's got a couple of good subjects that we want to talk to him about tonight. And one of them is the fact that, you know, as I say, he is a paint guru. He knows all of the designs of the paints and all the little fancy names that he calls of all these different products that are in there. But then the other area that I'd like to get him into, and you and I have talked about it, is the fact that these black boxes that we have on our vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and he's telling me that the capacity of learning capabilities has gone from 5 seconds to, I believe he said, 60 seconds.
Yeah.
So that, you know, and then so he said somebody spoke to him in one of his classes and says, well, can it hear what you're saying? They said, no, it doesn't record voices.
Not a cockpit recording.
No, it just records, you know, what's happening to the vehicle.
Right.
When your brakes and how fast you were going and whether your seat belts and all. I mean, all of that pertinent information.
Yep.
But, you know, I want to – and see, he was certified to go in and research and pull all of this stuff out of these cars.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the special software to download that for an insurance company and or the whoever, you know, paid him to go do this, because he was one of like two people in the state of Alabama that did that. But he's got some information about how all of that works now that we would be certainly be interested in. And his name is Kim Beck. And by the way, if we're talking about something, and you've come up with something that you'd like to ask him, maybe cross your mind, you could call us, just like you call here to get car repair information. So it'll be neat to have him on board. And if you run across something that he's talking about and all, and you have a question in regards to that, he's open to that. And, you know, he's not trying to hide from anybody. He'll talk to you about just about anything. So.
Yeah.
It's neat. We're glad to have him as one of our outside advisors.
Oh, yeah. Well, in the meantime, until we no point in talking about everything we want to talk about while he calls. But see, we do have a text message here from Dave from Gulf Shores.
Super Dave from the Gulf Shores.
Need some advice. 2020 Honda Fit comes with a scissors type jack, which seems to be fine, but the two-piece handle with a hook, not so good. Guaranteed to skin your knuckles on the asphalt.
Oh,
I agree with that. They do make some scissor type jacks that use a pump type action instead of a twist action, you know, on them. And I'm trying to remember, he's talking about an 80s Firebird jack, which, you know, that, yeah, you know, talking about finding one is an issue. And that's always going to be a problem because they're never in the car anymore by the time they get to a wrecking yard, or if you can even find them in a wrecking yard. So, you know, I don't have a good piece of advice for him on where to find one. I know like our Suburban Tahoes use a scissor type jack, and it has a handle similar to that. It's a couple pieces, and the lug wrench is actually part of the handle where you can use it for a twist part. Seems to do a pretty decent job, you know, and it's not, you can get out from under the car far enough because the handle's long enough to do what you need to do.
Okay.
The two-piece handles, you know, do tend to be a problem, especially if they're
is that the ones that got the little sleeve that slides down over the joint?
Yeah, generally has a little sleeve that just kind of keeps it together, and they never work that great, you know.
And if you duct tape them together or you know, secure them some other way, then it's too damn long to put in your trunks.
Right. Well, that's the thing is they don't fit where they're supposed to, and they barely fit where they go now, you know, because that's the last thing the car builder wants to do is take up room for something like that.
Right. So
but true. They do. Yeah, they do. So you can do like I do and just don't carry a spare, and that way you don't have to worry about a jack. But you don't worry about it that way. But which is probably not a good idea. But some of my hot rod stuff, it's I just don't have a good place to keep it, so it's just don't bring it with me. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Okay. Yeah. The truth comes out.
Yeah. You know, it is what it is. But anyway, we were talking a little while ago. How much time are we getting close here? Yeah. But we were talking earlier about the racetrack here at Mobile getting rolling again this year.
Right, that's neat.
Mobile International will be back racing again this year. There's going to be a limited schedule. You know, they're just trying to get their feet back on the ground and get the doors back open again. And I'm good with that. So it's supposed to be about a 4 or 5 race deal, which is good. Let them get the doors open. Figure out where everything is and where the light switches are
stuff. And find out what needs to be repaired and what needs to be replaced and how many of the bleachers need to be replaced and up there, and then get the roofs back on all of the concession stands from hurricanes.
Exactly. But sound like it's time for us to take a break. Now I'll let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. Got a Lincoln motor, a really souped up Model A body, makes it look real tough. Got 8 cylinders, use them all. Got overdrive, never stalls. A 4-barrel carb, a dual exhaust with 4-11 gears, you can really get lost. Got safety tubes, I ain't scared. The brakes are good, the tires fair. Now pull out of L.A. late.
It's the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
He's pounding down, loaded up and
trucking. Hey, welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle, long time flash. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. And we were talking about Mr. Kim Beck here just a little while ago, and he happens to be on the line. He gave us a call. Kim, you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Fine, how are you?
I'm good. It's been a while. Been a while.
Been a while.
So.
But it seems like yesterday, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's all good. It's all good. So I suppose you survived our pandemic here so far.
Oh, I've got too much paint thinner in me, though.
That's right. That's right.
I'm a Nazi aged all along.
There you go.
Yep.
Well, we were talking earlier. I guess you got your new gig with Ford on helping them with their designing some of their painting facilities in their factories. Give us a little insight.
Yeah. They brought me in this time. Usually when they bring me in, they would. I'd say, well, what about this? What about this? Well, everything's already designed, so couldn't do anything about it.
Right.
So this time they brought me in when there was a blank floor on the pattern, and I got to sit down with the engineers to be, and we designed the whole paint program the way it needs to be.
Right.
You know, so I thought that was kind of unique. But now then, the pandemic come along, and I can't get in to get started with it.
So they just kind of put it on hold to get that part of the plant up and going, or what?
Yeah. They're kind of on hold right now. They're still going, but they're just, they've just delayed the launch time on it.
Right.
They're taking a a 650 truck plant that builds 650 trucks.
Yeah.
You know, it just has basic model stage paint, you know, just simple, ordinary, you know, stuff to paint an old truck.
Uh-huh.
And they're turning it into one of the most luxurious Lincolns that's all electric.
Right.
That Ford has.
Wow. Yeah. Well, where are they building this plant at? Or
it's in Avon Lake, Ohio.
Okay.
My wife says I'm yelling. Am I talking too loud?
No, you're not. I hear you fine. It's all good.
But, okay. All right.
Of course, it's cold up there right now. We were just talking about that. A friend of mine's up there working in that general area. And
I've been up there when Lake Erie was complete, when you could walk on it.
That's the time of year I won't be there. So we're good there.
It was actually pretty cool because people were ice fishing, And,
oh, yeah.
Couple of them offered to carry me out, but I said, you know what? I think I'll just wait and go back and catch some brim back in Alabama.
That's right.
Yeah, my brim pole.
That's right.
Yeah, give him a brim pole.
To me, I'm right. Southern Alabama boy. If I can't get out in salt water where I know it ain't going to freeze, I don't need to be there. So,
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You could talk to him about the real big waters.
That's right.
Yep.
So that's where they're going to be building the electric Lincolns, or what are they doing there?
The all electric Lincoln.
Wow. Yeah.
It's going to be an SUV. It's going to be it's going to be two tone in color.
That's
what we were. Some of the funny things is, do you paint the top first or the bottom first? Because the top has a sunroof in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you paint the bottom first and then you paint the top, well, what are you going to do with that hole in the sunroof?
Yeah.
It's going to get clean all over everything. They can't tape stuff up there.
Right. Right.
So it's just simple things like that we had to. They were asking me, those questions. I said, oh, my gosh, you're asking me,
Yeah.
Which come first, the chicken or the egg,
Exactly. So, well, it's a blank piece of paper. We can make it any way we want it. So,
that's true. You can.
Yeah. So how do they do a two-tone? I mean, I know how we do it in a paint booth, but, I mean, how do you do it in a manufacturing, process like that?
Well, they actually, let's do the thought process here, because if you paint the bottom, and then you mask up and you spray, which we come up with, we're going to mask it, but you got to do something with the hole.
Right.
So anyway, we're painting the top first, and then we're going to mask off around the the belt line, and then spray the bottom second.
Right. So when basically when they're doing a two-tone paint job, it's not like you paint the whole vehicle one color and then you go back and add a second color. You're actually separating and just painting piece at a time. I mean, or one color on one half and the other color on the other half.
Yep. Well, now, they can actually program that robot to paint anything. They can paint one fender on that car without taping anything up.
Really?
What?
Yep. Yeah, they can program that robot. They'll cut this robot on, at certain times. It comes off at certain times. And, just like the time when I painted 157 cars the wrong color.
Oops.
But the reason why I brought that story up is because some of them had moon roofs in them, So some of the cars, when I painted the wrong color, all they did had to do was just change the code, for that serial number, and it made okay.
Right.
But the ones that had a moon roof, the robot would not paint the roof.
Yeah.
Because it thought it had a moon roof, but it really didn't have a moon roof. It was a solid vehicle.
Right.
So does that make sense? So it didn't get no paint there, so we had to go back and repaint those.
Yeah.
Did you hear me, though, that I painted 157 cars the wrong color?
I heard that.
Y'all didn't respond to that.
I was waiting for you to get through because I was going like, what the hell? How did you do that?
You weren't. Yeah. You didn't think you was going to get out of that without getting something, right?
I know it. Yeah. I knew I was getting out too easy. So I said, something's going. I thought,
right.
I wanted to get, when you get in a fight, you want to take the first, you want to get the first punch in,
Yeah.
So
finish it anyway, huh?
Well, it didn't sound like it worked out too bad because they just changed the paint code and said, okay, this is what we meant to paint them, okay? But
they had to go back. It took them a day to fix it because they had to go back in and completely redesign that whole serial number.
Yeah, yeah.
The serial number, has the paint code. They could look on the serial number and tell you what color it is.
Right. Right.
So they had to go back and they had to rework every one of those 157 serial numbers. So I wasn't the most popular guy in the plant for a while.
Well, at least not in the office. So,
not in the office anyway, yep. That's right.
I bet you was a laughing stock out in the damn on the floor, though.
Oh, man. No, I wasn't a laughing stock. I was cussed a little bit.
I bet.
Well, you throw that out there, but something just ran across my mind, and we're talking about two-toning. And I guess you were using what we call base coat clear coat, where you're going to have two different colors on there, but the clear coat would be the same, wouldn't it?
Yes. Now that's a good point. You base it and then you clear it, all at the same time.
Right.
Yeah. So the whole paint sequence is they dip it in e-coat first,
mm-hmm.
and then they prime it. And then after they prime it, all this is the same color. And they e-coat it, and then they shoot a coat of primer on it, 0.9 mils. And then after that, then they go in and it's a new three-way. That's one of the things I did for Ford. I carried it from a two-way system to a three-way system. And I guess I need to explain that a little bit. But
yes,
anyway,
you do.
They carried it from two-way to a three-way system, and then they baked it. See, the old technology was they would E-coat it, electrical deposition primer. They'd dip it in a big old vat. They'd come out. They'd get all the excess E-coat off of it. They'd literally rinse it with water, and it was a nice, slick, smooth coat of E-coat.
Mm-hmm.
It's not quite the same as primer. It's electroplated.
Right.
And then they bake it at 415 degrees, and then they go in and they sand all the defects out of it. Have I got time to explain all this?
Yeah. Come on. We got a couple more minutes.
Okay. And then they would sand all the defects out of it, and then they would prime it. And in the old days, they would bake it after they prime it. In the new days, and what I carried them to is they would prime it, and then they would let it flash for 5 minutes. And then they would put the base coat on it, and then they would put the clear coat on it, and then bake it all at one time.
Yeah.
So
it seems like that would work.
They only bake it twice.
Yeah.
Three-way.
Seems like that would stick better that way. I mean, you wouldn't have the delamination, that we had.
Exactly. So you picked right up on that. That's one way that we help to, I won't say we cured it, but we made it a lot better.
Yeah.
Because of the adhesion. Because, see, they were baking it. They were baking the primer, and they were literally baking it too hard.
Right.
And that way, whenever they put the paint on top of it, it wasn't totally adhering to it.
Right.
Whereas
right.
Now then, the primer is still... when they say three wet, it's still soft.
Yeah.
But it flashes for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And it cures out a little bit, but it's still soft. And then so the paint will stick better to it.
Right. Right. I mean, that seems like it would be a much better deal. I mean, I know for years we had delamination issues with all of the cars, but,
mm-hmm.
We really haven't seen that in several years now, but not as much.
Yeah.
You still see it occasionally, but
It's hard to imagine the little country boy help come up with that.
That's right. if you're not, that's kind of the thing, just like with even a sealer, and that if you let it totally cure, then you got to go back and sand it before you put a base on it, or it's not going to adhere to it properly. So
what I told him. I said why are you baking this, just to turn around and put more paint on it? I said, because in the body shop, we don't do that. We just put it right over top of it. When it's still soft, so it'll just sit.
Right. Absolutely.
And so it took about 5 years to put it all settled in and sink in and get it all up and going, but it finally happened.
Yep. There you go. Well, Kim, hang on for a minute. It's time for us to take a break, and we'll be back after these messages.
Long strips of rubber that you see were burned off of this rig by the likes of me, and they'll rot along the highways in this land.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, you heard the story of the hot rod race that fatal day.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Remkel along with Tom Clash. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But we still have Mr. Kim Beck online with us. We're talking about Ford plants up there. But, Kim, I know you haven't been able to get your feet in the plants here a whole lot lately, but I know GM's having the same issue that Ford and Fiat and Chrysler, all them are having, trying to get semiconductors to be able to put some of these vehicles together. Have you heard anything from your Ford people on that?
No, not really. You know what? You talk about all the different car manufacturers. They're all one and the same when you get into the factory,
Oh, yeah.
Paint companies are all the same from one to the other, the same robots. They have the same issues and, aluminum, grounding issues, electronics. That's something they have, that they get the right continuity. you know, when they paint it, or whenever they leave a spot where you can get continuity to it, you know, and everything.
Right.
So
right.
It's funny you should bring all that up.
Yep. Yep. Hey, it looks like we got another caller online. Let's see what they need.
Hello.
Caller, are you with us?
Yes, sir, I am.
What can we do for you?
I got an 05 Volvo XC90. I want to know how you know when your turbocharge is gone.
Well, I mean, what's it doing?
It's, you can kind of feel it like it's like it ain't really getting up to go, but it'll go. It don't cut off and nothing like that, but
right.
I don't know. I just wonder how can you tell when one go bad?
Well, I mean, the one thing you'd want to know what the boost pressure is putting out and what it's capable, I mean, what it's supposed to be putting out and
okay.
compare the two. If it's not spooling up fast enough, I mean, it could be a bearing dragging in the turbo.
Uh-huh.
There's all kind of other issues that can cause it, but if your exhaust is starting to plug up a little bit, it's not going to spool the turbo up like it should.
Okay.
That's not a kind of a do-it-yourselfer type check.
Understood.
On that, because it's there's some pretty precise measurements you have to do, and most people wouldn't have the equipment to do it with.
Okay.
So
what do you suggest, sir?
I would take it to good friend of mine owns the Swedish Auto Tech down on Highway 90.
When I'm going west on 90, it's past the interstate on the right.
Yeah, yeah. It's,
I know exactly what that said. That's where I'm going to take it then.
Yeah, yeah. They're good people.
What's his name?
You got Kevin and Wayne.
Okay. All right. I asked for him.
Yeah. And,
thank you so much for helping me, sir.
All right. I appreciate you.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You.
Have a good evening.
All right. You too.
Bye-bye.
But, Kim, you're back with us here. But
I'm here.
Yep. Yeah. But yeah, we're we've been having inventory problems, and I understand it's across the board on all the manufacturers right now. They're idling plants to be able to build trucks, because that's their big money maker at the moment. But been an issue with everybody for sure. But
they've got. Kentucky, they've got Kansas City, and they've got two plants in Michigan. The Rouge, I guess you heard them, call it.
Yeah,
you know,
Rouge
all,
River.
They've got all four of those plants making nothing but trucks now, because that, like you say, that's their money maker.
Yeah.
The other thing they're switching to mostly is the SUVs,
mm-hmm.
The SUV style vehicles. That's what's selling.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what everybody wants for sure. You know, we sell probably 3-1. Trucks and SUVs versus everything else, that's just where the market is these days for sure. Most people that even want a smaller car, they've actually gone to the smaller SUVs. That's why we've kind of filled in a bunch of little holes there with the SUVs on the GM side. And I know Ford's done the same thing. They've pretty cut back way back on their car production too.
Well, one of the other things that I've run into in regards to that is that I find a lot of older people or senior citizens are getting away from the little cars, or like even the Toyota cars or the Kias or whatever, mm-hmm. because they're set so low, then they have trouble getting in and getting out of them, where the SUVs now have the right height for somebody to just turn around, and just slide in rather than having to step down inside of the vehicle. So I know people that's bought cars and drove them for like a year and said, man, I got to change this. So they'd go buy an SUV, and get that rather than driving the regular sedan car as we know it.
Yep. Hey, Mr. Claxton, I'm finding that, me in my older ages, where my bones don't jump up and down anymore, it's easier for me to get in a slide out of a truck or an SUV than just squatting down in the car.
My daughter asked me to drive her car out to the service department sometime, and it happens to be one of those Corvettes.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, I don't lay down and roll in cars anymore.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Getting in is not the hard part. It's getting back out and climbing out of it.
I know. So, unbelievable, man.
Yeah, I tell you.
You are right. But, they got now where the gas mileage is not a big difference from one to the other.
Right.
Oh, no.
And, the advantages just outweigh it so much. And, used to, whenever, you'd say, well, I want something with good gas mileage. I'm telling you, they all get pretty good gas mileage now.
Yeah, well, the CAFE standards produced all of that for us, Kim. Mm-hmm. You know, the federal CAFE laws, and everybody's trying to get your gas mileage up on it. And so they can't just do it on one or two vehicles and get that average up for the whole the line of cars.
Well, I can relate to that just a little bit, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Yeah, back in the Obama, in his campaign, they come across the court board, like the CAFE standards, all stuff that the vehicles had the average of, like 60 miles per gallon across the board for, from all their vehicles. Well, you never really heard of that because, it got bumped back down to 50 miles a gallon, 50 and 52 miles a gallon on it. Then when Trump come along, he bumped it down even more a little bit because of he was a little bit less stringent on that. That's when it actually got bumped back down to like 50 miles a gallon. So like you say, the standards and the ratings on that are imposed by just basically the government,
Right.
So that's where we stand now. Now, when it calls across the board is, that's the reason why they come up with electric vehicles. They get to average that in with the truck. They get 15, 20, 25 miles a gallon to bring it the average up to 50.
Right.
Well, I think that brings up another very important point that when we start talking about these electric vehicles versus our combustion engine vehicles, and Kevin, I've been talking about it for years, and that is the fact that these electric vehicles, we're not buying gas anymore, so we're not paying road tax.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Do you hear
just opened up a big can of worms.
I know, that's a big can of worms there, but from the factory side or the manufacturing side, have you heard any conversation on that you're at liberty to talk about?
Oh, yeah. That's what I mean. That's what it's all about, because now then you've got the, where's the government going to get their money? What are they going to tax?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. How are they going to get, their taxes from an electric that they don't sell gasoline when they put taxes on it? So you're going to see them come up with a usage tax. I don't know how much in the future you have, but you're going to come up with a usage tax rather than a gas tax.
Yeah, and they're going to have to because, I know GM said by 2035 they'll be totally electric. Ford, I think, is closer to 2030, I believe, is the number I heard. But, you're talking about a lot of vehicles out there running around on the highways that there's not going to be any money coming in to fix them or build new ones. Yeah.
Yep. I'll tell you I'm going to let a little cat out of the bag just a little bit. You can stay tuned with this, really. But I've been contacted by Tesla to come out and work with their vehicle a little bit out in California.
Yeah.
I was talking to them during before the pandemic, and of course that come along, and because this guy Robert, I won't call it, Robert Hefferman, he worked for Ford, and then he hired on with Tesla as one of their paint engineers, and so he's bringing me on board with Tesla to work with them on their paint.
Yeah, well, that's a good deal. That's a good deal for sure.
You might not have to go to California. It looks like you just have to go to Austin, Texas.
they're going to be in Indiana too.
And they're coming to Indiana too, huh? Okay.
That might be where the first time I get on board and everything. They're probably already got it linked in, but that's there's a couple of plants in Indiana that they've got their hands on.
Right, right. I tell you, electric vehicles is where it's going to be. We were thinking, hydrogen, some of these other and diesels and all that, which the diesels have come along really strong, but the electric is where it's going. They're pushing everything towards zero emissions, and the battery technology has really ramped up over the last few years, and it's just getting better every day. So, they've got vehicles, big trucks that can go, 300-500 miles on a charge. There's no reason they can't make a passenger car do that,
Are you going to get geared in all that on all them 500 volt circuits? Are you going to get geared in on that?
Well, I'm not going to have much choice. If I want to keep doing this, I'm going to have to, you know.
Yep, that's right.
You know,
I'm kind of glad that I'm where I am now, instead of where I can just study and play with it and not have to really get out there and do it every day, hand on hand.
Right.
I mean, I still, still the technology, and I mean, I'll play with enough to get good, knowledgeable with everything, but to have to deal with that on a daily basis. But you know what? In a way, it's easier because you've got the electronics for your diagnostics and. Mm-hmm. So in a way, it's going to be easier than turning nuts and bolts.
Well, you don't have as many moving parts, Kim.
Well,
that's what I mean. That's true.
And honestly, our electric stuff has been very trouble free, for the simple fact I think they're just putting more effort into it. Because the new technology, they're trying to get people drawn towards it, and you can't afford to have a black eye with a vehicle, because it wasn't ready to come to market yet. So they're putting a lot of time and effort into them, and we're really not having issues with our electric stuff. They've been pretty trouble free.
That's true. That's very true on that. So there's not really and that's what Tom and I were talking earlier. There's not a bad vehicle out on the road now, that you buy that you would call bad anymore. The technology is so keen now that any vehicle that you get is going to have good technology in it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Kim, looks like we're on another break here, but if you'll hang on a minute, I'm going to get into some black boxes when we get back. But anyway, let's take a break and we'll let you hear from our sponsors.
Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. Have any questions, give us a text or send us a call, 343-0106. And speaking of calls, Kim, if you'll hang on just a second, we got Andy online with us too here, but Andy with us.
Yes, sir.
What are we going to do for you today?
All right. I got a 98 GMC Suburban 5.7, mm-hmm. and I put a crate motor in it, about 20,000 miles ago.
Right.
This truck has not run correctly ever since I put the motor in it. It's like a lack of power. There seems to be like an electrical problem. Because it's like you're going down the road and it just feels like it just cuts off for a second, like bam, and then it kicks back on, and the power's just not there. I got new plug wires, iridium plugs,
right.
New distributor, new rotor cap. The coils are hot. I just don't quite get it. And I've taken it to several mechanics. I just had the transmission rebuilt, thinking that banging was in it, and it wasn't.
Right.
I'm chasing a dog chasing his tail here.
Yeah. And it started when you put the motor in it.
Yes, sir. It actually, the old motor, I blew it up running hot. Accidentally, right. Didn't realize it broke one of them little plastic fittings and running hot. But anyway, that power, that truck had plenty of power. That motor did. It was supposed to be a 300 horsepower engine.
Right.
And this one, I'm telling you, brother, it ain't there. Yeah. It's my work truck, and it's loaded all the time, and it struggles. It really does.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I bought aftermarket wires, really good spark plugs, it's just not there. But every now and then, it'll hit this little spot where it kind of clears up and then it goes bad again.
Right.
I don't know what else to do. Got new fuel pump.
It's hard to say.
There's so much new on it. It's got new injection system in it.
Right.
I've done everything I can think of.
Yeah. And it's really hard to say, but one thing I would check is I would get someone to put a back pressure gauge on the exhaust system, make sure that it didn't damage the catalytic converters when it run hot.
Okay.
Because you could have, you know, replaced the motor and put, you know, bolted up the original converters back to it. And,
yes,
and it's restricting the exhaust and causing you issues. Okay. Also, look really close at all the ground wires and stuff where the motor is swapped out. I'm kind of leaning towards the fact that maybe something wasn't clean. You know, a lot of times you'll get into where the ground wires bolt up. You get a brand new motor, it's painted up, you bolt the ground wires to it, and they don't make good contact.
Right, and it does feel like an electrical situation to me.
Yeah.
I'm not a mechanic now, don't get me wrong, but I know my truck.
Yeah.
And I swear that's what it feels like. And I did blow a couple of crank fuses, and I put it back in the shop, and there was a wire that was naked, grounded out, you know, so the mechanic fixed that.
Right.
But the power and stuff is still, it never has improved.
Yeah, and it's not so, setting any codes or anything?
Well, I'll sure start wherever you tell me.
Yeah, yeah. I would check all your grounds. I mean, okay, wherever a ground is, take it off, clean it, put it back on, make sure it's good and tight. Even if you use a star washer on it to make sure it's making good contact, do that. Get someone to check the back pressure on the exhaust. Make sure that you haven't, you know, don't have a damaged converter that's restricting things.
Okay.
And just start there. You know,
can you tell me where the grounds may be located on this truck?
There's one at least on the back of one of the two heads. I think it's on the passenger side head, if I remember right.
Okay.
And there's one on top of the intake. And I believe there's one on the bottom somewhere on the driver's side, right up behind the power steering pump.
Okay.
So look at that and see where that is. And clean them up and just see what's going on.
Can the muffler, like MacDonald mufflers, check that pressure?
They should be able to.
Yeah.
They should be able to.
MacDonald?
Yeah, MacDonald muffler. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I sure appreciate y'all's time. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling.
All right. Bye-bye.
But, Kim, you still with me?
Yeah. Hey. Okay. Ken, I know this is not my category, but I'm telling you, I can tell you a situation where just a case just like that, and they had a wire that was broken a little bit.
Right.
And the technician had wired it back together, but he didn't solder it.
Yep.
And one drop of solder fixed the whole problem, that whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've seen of the resistance values on it.
Yep.
Oh, it, and when they put it together, they just kind of tried to repair the wire and, you know, and tape it back together.
Right.
And just the resistance values aren't their thing, and they soldered the wire and it fixed it.
Yep. You know, you're talking about
you can
that.
Sure do it.
I just saw on the internet over the last weekend where they've got some new fasteners now where you can just put the two wires together, and you put the sleeve over it, and in the center of the sleeve, it has a little pot of solder there.
Right.
And when you put the heat on that shrink sleeve, and to shrink the sleeve around it to keep it from coming loose, the solder, it actually melts the solder, and the solder goes to the junction.
It's a low-temp solder?
Yeah. You know, and that's a cool move.
Yep, absolutely. You know, a lot of our heat shrink connect, like a butt splice,
right?
Use that technology where you, when you heat it up to seal it, it actually gets hot enough to melt that low-temp solder, and it creates a good connection that way. And if you do that properly, you can put that wire in a, you know, in something and pull on it, and it's going to break somewhere other than where that splice is. You know, that splice, you're not going to pull it apart.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, resistance values on computers is so important. You cannot stress how much that's important.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just a few ohms of resistance difference is going to totally change everything.
Yep. I agree 100% because there's, you know, I can't tell you how many times that I'll call our technical assistance line and you know, one of the things I'll try and head them off because, you know, I know I'm checking the resistance the way it should be, a loaded circuit to where, you know, you're checking a voltage drop, which is a real check on it. You know, if you just put an ohm meter across it, it'll check good, you know, until you put a load on it, you know.
Yep.
And, you know, they'll come back, okay, I know you said it's good, but what is it? What's the loaded?
What's loaded the actual figures? Drop, yeah,
and so I've just gotten the habit of giving them that before I, you know, when I send the original case in, and then they'll move on past that because they know I'm actually looking
at it.
Save
them some time.
So, yeah, absolutely.
But like you say, a voltage drop from even like 300 millivolts, a voltage drop, will be it can be major.
Oh yeah, I mean,
from
it's
one connector to another connector.
I've seen our negative, we've had some issues with negative and positive battery cables on some of our vehicles over the years, and really, I'm looking for something. If it's more than about 150 millivolt drop across a battery cable, it's too much. It's going to cause an issue. I've seen them just leave you stranded. He's like, and you get out there and the car is fine, you're running down the road, and all of a sudden the door locks start cycling or something weird starts happening, and it'd be just a connection problem on a poor connection in a cable, And it's where it was crimped, the cable was crimped into the terminal, and it didn't have any kind of solder or anything like that. I tell you, it's a big issue for sure. But Kim, I wanted to get into
Ford came into a big issue that kind of threw him a curve a little bit. The galvanic corrosion that was creating from the continuity from ground wires, they would bolt the wires up to the aluminum body.
Yep.
And that galvanic corrosion would create a little bit of a crust there.
Yep.
And it would cause a voltage drop.
Yep. Well, Kim, cut you off, but we actually run up to the end of our show here, and I do appreciate it. And when we get to talking, the time goes away. But I'd love to talk to you maybe next week about some the black boxes on some of these cars. But, Kim, I do appreciate you calling in, and I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show tonight, and we will be back next week.
And up to all of our veterans out there, big hoorah. She said she leaned when it was.